A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 20th May 2025, Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Lotus, the Wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. So we are at Volume 4, Chapter 3, A Parable by Master Xuan Hua. Okay, as usual, we were gather, then we will have our physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Pu Xian Pu Sa. Namo Pu Xian Pu Sa. Namo Pu Xian Pu Sa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Dang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchacara Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Majjhapama Tana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Ganna sarpa dithena dipena tamadansina diloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang Gandha sambara yutena dupena hang sukang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja pajana muttamang vanna gandha guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi bedang kesuhu mena nena punena metena cehotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati binasa bawang adiwase tuno bante paniyang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adiwase tuno bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we have chanted the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely want to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple J. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. So awareness-based meditation is very useful and very important, where it's the basis for us to train our mind to develop the silent mind, to be aware within. So like the word awareness based meditation. So this meditation is to allow us to develop the understanding to stabilize our inner awareness, which is sati. Yeah. When you stabilize the sati, you are able to realize the silent mind. And this silent mind basically is our true mind. When the mundane thinking stop, the true mind arise. Basically, that true mind was the primordial nature within. Before thought arise, that was your true silent meditative mind. That is the mind that is capable of developing all the understanding, capable of allowing us to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. And it is also responsible for the silent observation of what is, which is the reality, which is suchness, the truth, like the Buddha always mentioned. When causes and conditions are already fixed, the phenomenal world will move in that direction. That's why he always proclaimed to the monk, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, he has explained them in his teaching. Basically, it's the panchaniyamas. Of the five panchaniyamas, the first two are scientific law. He called it utuniyama, the physical aspect of nature's law. All physical things behave following that law. Then we have the bija niyama, which is the biological order of nature. All organic things, biological things, having life form, they are governed by this bija niyama. But there are the other three spiritual laws. The law of karma, karma niyama, the law of mind, chitta niyama, and the law of truth. And these three are more useful, more important. These are the spiritual laws that govern the rest of the activity and movement within nature. And of these three, the most powerful one that has influence over living beings is basically the law of karma, karma niyama. And according to the Buddha, under the fifth daily contemplation, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So this is the law that we have to pay attention to. And to meditate is to develop the awareness within, to understand this law. We call it the moral causation. Because our mundane thinking, the mundane mind that manifests from that pure awareness nature within, that is the one that creates the moral causation or the karmic process. And when that arises, all things arise. That's why the Buddha called it the mano or mundane mind, mundane thinking mind. And this mind is dependent originating, condition arising, is responsible for all the karmic creation. And this karmic process is the one that set for the evolution of humanity, living beings, and the whole creative process, how the universe become what it is, how it manifests and all things. Then, being a living being, we have a mind. And this mind is very important for those who know how to develop the awareness-based meditation. You will come to realize a very profound understanding that there are two minds. There is a primordial, original true mind, which is the unconditioned, unmanifested. That's why it's a primordial. It was there before thinking, before the rising of thought. When you completely silent without thought, when the thinking activity slow down until it completely ceases and become completely still, that stillness, that tranquility, the silence within is your true mind. And that mind is the one that can meditate, that can develop all the wisdom and understanding that is without the thought, without the knowledge, the memory. Whereas all the other aspects of existential world, including the brain, the memory, the five aggregate, everything, they manifest from the stirring of that mundane mind. That mundane mind that stirred into sakkayaditi, self-delusion, avijja, ignorance, that trigger of the karmic process. So meditation is to see this, to awaken to all this. Then we will come to also understand who we are, what we are very clearly. That we are a conscious being, capable of being conscious. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile, feel and think. Then because of this ability to be conscious, we can create karmic activity and movement. We can give rise to causes and conditions within the existential world. And from there, all things are set into motion. Mainly through avijja, ignorance, that condition grasping and clinging to the five aggregate of form and mind. So with this understanding, we develop the understanding to awaken. We call it wisdom at the moment of sense experience. This yoniso manasikara that arises through the meditative training, through the cultivation of the first, second and third turning of the Four Noble Truths are very powerful, very important. When they arise, it will spontaneously prompt the living being, especially we human beings. At the moment of sense experience, it will prompt you spontaneously and allow you to have the understanding so that you will not stir your mind. You will not react to sense experience. You will not create coming negativity. Then you can be at peace with all conditions, all things. So that is basically what meditation is, to be aware of what is going on within nature, within life, within the moment. Okay, then I go to the four support, remind you. We need to develop the four support initially to stabilize the inner awareness. First support is just relax body and mind completely. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just relax, silent. Then maintain the inner awareness before the thinking, before the thought, just aware. Whatever arises within your six sense basis, aware, finish. Aware, silent. Don't chase after whatever sense experience. Don't allow the thinking to come in and interfere, especially your views, opinion, conditioning and belief system, your memories, psychological memories. Yeah. So you can do that, relax, maintain awareness. Then your mind will be different. It will start to slow down, and become very quiet and very still. Mm. Then the third support is develop the ability to continuously allow this mind to stabilize and settle down. Means continue to maintain awareness for as long as you can until the mind enters sati. Until everything you do is with sati. All your activity and movement, the awareness, sati, and mindfulness move as one with the phenomena. Then all the tactile arising, you also aware. Then you can detect whatever vibration or even your heartbeat within your form and mind, your nature. And whatever sense experience, when it imprints upon your hearing, your smell, your taste, your tactile, your arising of thought, you aware. So able to maintain these first three support is very important. Relax, maintain awareness, then stabilizing this awareness. Technically is throughout the day over 24 hours. Mm. But you can do it for most of the time when you are awake or conscious. That is good enough. Mm. Then for those who have developed the progress until you are able to train the mind until it is so stable that it can be a free mind with the awareness within, very clear, very stable. Then you can move on to the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your inner nature to develop the meditative movement. You just silence everything and stay at the heart area. Let that nature detect whatever that arises. Then stay with it. Anchor it at your heart area. But don't go and interfere. Just let that nature move by itself, detect by itself, and completely silent. Then not long, if you are patient, that mind that enters sati will have the intelligence and understanding to move and activate whatever it needs to activate. Then finally, one day, it will help you locate the gateway to your nature. Then the form and mind that go through that will understand. Very beautiful things will unfold. Yeah. Initially, it's like all your externally developed yin-yang energy. They start to melt into that gateway and transform into pure energy within. Then it moves by itself. Then you are aware. Because you are aware, you can understand the whole movement. You can understand what happened within and how it actually developed the internal movement to activate all the nadis and chakra that need to be activated. Then the flowering of that is the most beautiful. Then you will progress and become very different. Mm. Then your internal awareness will stabilize. And it will start to activate more and more, more and more, more and more. Until finally you can illuminate the whole nature. Mm. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the meditative mind state that you need to use to develop the stability of daily mindfulness to live the heedful life. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam munirajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadam dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa iti peso bhagava rahang samma sambuddho bijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko upanayiko pachyatang veditabho vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasango yadidam chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato saukasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, yeah, can we say that? We will continue from where we stopped. The Buddha uses wisdom and skillful means to rescue living beings from the burning house of the three rhyme. The three rhyme are the rhyme of desire, the rhyme of form, and the rhyme of the formless, means rupa loka. The rhyme of the sensual desire rhyme is kama loka. This one is kama, no kar, kama loka. Then rupa loka, then arupa loka. as if extending his hand to living beings who are singing in a swamp. The Buddha pulled them to safety. Living beings are trapped in the burning house of the three realms. Some are burned so badly that they cannot move their hands or walk with their feet, as they are on the verge of dying in the fire. Along comes the firefighter, which is the Buddha, to save them. Our three realms are just like a huge burning house. Not afraid of being burned, the Buddha enters the three realms to pull us out of danger, in the same way as a fireman saves people from a burning house. How compassionate the Buddha is to us. Hearing this, if we have the slightest pulse of conscience, we would or we should be weeping tears of remorse. The Buddha is so kind, so compassionate to us. If we do not resolve to cultivate from now on, we do not deserve to be humans. We may be on our way to the hell, to become hungry ghosts, to be born as animals. Or how can we cry over some long lost friends or some relatives who are in troubles? Here we are ourselves, just about to burn to death in the burning house. The Buddha forsake his own life to save us all living beings. If we do not start cultivating now, we really do not deserve the Buddha's kindness, compassion, joy and equanimity. With kindness, one gives joy to others. With compassion, one elevates others' pain. The Buddha dispels our suffering so that we can be happy. We really should bring forth the Bodhi resolve and not be lazy, as I know some of you were before. We should feel shame and stop losing our tempers as we did in the past. We should resolve to become awakened. The Buddha is waiting for us. But dear Master, someone says, you just told us that the Buddha is willing to sacrifice his life to save us. Since he is already a Buddha, does he still have to die? The Buddha does not die, but living beings do. Although the Buddha has transcended the cycle of birth and death and does not pass away, we living beings are still subject to birth and death. However, our lives are just like the Buddha's life. That is why if we don't hurry up and end birth and death by cultivating the path, it is equivalent to dragging the Buddha down to die with us. So we should not delay in bringing forth the Bodhi resolve. We should advance with vigor, with courageous vigor, and stop being lazy. The Buddha skillfully rescued living beings, teaching them the three vehicles, the vehicles of the Savaka or the Sanghara, and the Pacheka Buddhas, and the Bodhisattva's vehicle of the Buddha. To rescue living beings, the Buddha teaches us these three vehicles, the Savaka vehicle, Pacheka Buddha vehicle, and the Supreme Buddha vehicle. The Supreme Buddha vehicle leads us to become Buddhas. The Buddha had prepared for us the Dhamma door of the three vehicles. Which vehicle are you going to choose or pick? Do you want the sheep cart, or you prefer the deer cart, or would you like to have the cart drawn by the great white ox? Pick one for yourself. You should not just listen to the sutta passively. Go ahead and take your share. The Buddha has given us three kinds of cards. Everyone has a choice. You want a great white ox card, he will give it to you. You rather have a deer card, he has one for you too. If you want a sheep card, the smallest card, that is okay too. If you do not want any of them, then the Buddha has no way to save you for the time being. Then the next part of the sutta, correlating the praise of the three cards has been rare. Then correlating the indicative turnings, correlating the evidential turning, correlating the haughty turning. Okay, we go to the sutta. So first part of the sutta is correlating the indicative turning. Hence he said to them, you should not take pleasure in dwelling in the burning house of the three rhyme. Do not crave vulgar and inferior forms, sound, smell, taste, and tangible objects. If you attach to them greedily and passionately, you will be burned by them. You should quickly escape the three rhyme, for then you shall attain the three vehicles, the vehicles of the sound hearers, Savaka, the vehicle of the Pichika Buddhas, or the silent Buddha, and the vehicle of the Supreme Buddhahood, Supreme Buddha vehicle. Commentary. Hence he said to them, you should not take pleasure in dwelling in the burning house of the three rhymes. So the commentary explained the introductory phrase. Hence he said to them, was added by Venerable Ananda when he compiled the sutta. When the Buddha said you, he referred to the 30 children and the 500 people as well as you, me and all living beings of the present. Do not assume that we are left out. We are included in the word you. Sakyamuni Buddha is telling all of us not to take pleasure in the burning house of the three rhyme. The rhyme of desire, the rhyme of form, and the rhyme of the formless. He said that the pain there is excruciating. One should not expect to find happiness or fun there. Here the Buddha is talking about the first of the four noble truths, the noble truth of dukkha or suffering. There is limitless suffering, but living beings often mistaken suffering for bliss and mistake true bliss for suffering. For example, sometimes if you know how, you can turn bad situation around to become favorable. If you don't know how, you might mess up even a good cause. Suffering may be miserable, but living beings usually mistaken it for bliss, while they regard true bliss as suffering. Living beings are confused, muddled. In their confusion, they become lost and do not know the way home. Do not know where you come from. Originally, you are from that source, that nature within. Then from there, the primordial arise. But because of avijja, the first thought of ignorance, the condition or the subsequent coming movement, the creative process, living being become more and more lost until they forgot that they were from that unconditioned primordial nature. Instead, they grasp at the five aggregate of form and mind, believing that that is what they are and that is a permanent unchanging entity that they can grasp onto, cling onto, hold onto, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, that sakayaditi, that delusion, that avijja, cause karmic activity and karmic downfall of the living being. And through that, the first noble truth, the reality of life and existence, takes its course. Because within the existential world, the prevalence of suffering is everywhere. Without wisdom, without the Dhamma understanding, you cannot free, you cannot liberate. You don't understand life. That's why they always cling on to the deluded activity, the phenomenal world of consciousness, not knowing that they are impermanent, leading to suffering, an empty nature, no reality. He no you, he no me. All this wisdom and understanding are not there. So I will read on. The session will say, you don't know how, you might mess up even a good cause. Suffering may be miserable, but living beings usually mistake it for bliss, while they regard true bliss as suffering. Living beings are confused, muddled. In their confusion, they become lost and do not know the way home. This is very true. They walk down the wrong path, deviant path, without realizing it. That is the truth of suffering, noble truth of suffering. And so in this passage, all living beings are told not to linger in the burning house. Do not crave vulgar and inferior form, sound, smell, taste, and tactile object. These are the sense data, your emotion. So do not hanker after what is coarse, vile, rotten, and decaying. What is rotten and decaying? Suffering and affliction are rotten and decaying. They disturb the inherent nature of our true mind and erode our wisdom, making us ignorant or deluded. Form, sound, smell, taste, and sight, including tangible objects, are the five perceived objects. They are also called the five desires. Form refers to all that have shape and appearances. That's why we call it color, shape, and form. Sound, smell, taste, and tactile object are invisible. These five perceived objects delude all living beings. Some are deluded and tainted by form. Some like to listen to nice music and are deluded by sound. Others like to smell fragrance and are attached to scents. Some are attached to flavors and are deluded by food. Others like tactile contact and become deluded and defiled by tactile objects. The term for perceived object in Mandarin literally means dust. Go to note 21. Chen, le chen ai, chen, dust. Okay. Why are they called dust? They are impure. That's why sensu also in the poem. So that no dust can alight. So that no defilement, unwholesome mind state can alight. They are called dust because they are impure. The five perceived objects make living beings completely confused. However, let us suppose you attach yourself, you detach yourself from all perceived objects. There is a saying, if you see things and awaken, you can transcend the world. If you see things and are confused, you will sink and fall. And that is very true. Whether it's a direct seeing or mundane seeing. That's either two big difference. If in a situation you wake up, that's transcending the world, means you can transcend duality. You can transcend the creation of the mundane thinking. But if you get caught up and swept away by the situation, then you may end up descending into the lower realm or existence. Shenhua said, I always tell people, the eye see form, but the mind is empty. You remember? This one is similar to Surangama Sutta, the famous stanza. Yeah. So here, the eye see form means what? Perception of form is the famous stanza, I cannot remember. Perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is? So non-perception is wisdom, is because that direct seeing without word cannot perceive anything, understand? It's the mundane, deluded mind that clings and ground. That's why when you perceive something, means there is mundane seeing. Because the supramundane seeing is a direct seeing. The direct seeing, no word, nothing, cannot label anything. There is no form, no five sense data or the six sense data that can imprint onto your sense basis and trigger the content of consciousness through your wrong view, delusion, sakkayadity, your accumulated memories, which are your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, etc. These are the things that delude you, cause your mundane mind that is deluded to grasp, cling, and give meaning. That's how suffering arises. Through delusion, you grasp and cling. Then because they are existential activity or phenomenon, they are not real, not what you think. They exhibit the universal characteristic of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, because they follow the panchaniyamas. If you want things your way, which is not allowable by nature's law, then you suffer. When you cannot get what you want, you suffer. When things don't go your way, you suffer. Means you don't have the wisdom to understand all this and to awaken to all this. And you cannot develop that type of wisdom and understanding. You will cling, you will grasp, you will stir your mind and react to whatever sense experience that you come into contact with. Because that craving for sensual desire, craving for becoming and non-becoming, the craving to be and not to be. So first is sensual craving. Then bhava tanha, craving to be. Then vibhava tanha, craving not to be. Then kama tanha, essential craving. So that craving mind, born of delusion and sakkayaditti, there are three aspects to it. The main one is kama tanha, sensual craving. So the sixth type of sense data or basis, when you cling onto them, grasp onto them, and hold onto them, thinking that they are real, they can be owned, can be possessed, you cannot see their universal characteristics, how they arise and how they pass away, then you will have sakkayaditti. And you will fall into the what they call self-delusion that condition your affliction, suffering, and misery. So all this is what the Dhamma is all about. So sensual craving is a very powerful craving. That's why sensual desire, like and dislike, both are craving. Both are called sensual craving, whether it's positive or negative. That's why all your five senses, you have to have the direct seeing to see things as they are, so that you develop the wisdom, so that you awaken to their universal characteristic, so that they lose their ability to deceive you and delude you. Otherwise, you cannot awaken. Then the other two types of craving is craving to be and not to be, is sakkaya ditti too. Self-delusion, where you believe there is a permanent unchanging entity that exists within the form and mind. Then you believe that can be you, and you want to be famous, you want to be successful, you want to have authority, power, you want to be promoted, you want to be the world champion, you want to stand out. So all this craving to be is born of sakkaya-ditti, self-delusion, not realizing that there is only one world champion in any sports, or within an organization there is only one CEO. Very rarely do you have a joint CEO. Then also, based on all this understanding, then when things become very negative, when the stress, the pressure, everything is being felt, then you crave not to be. That's why sometimes people went through depression, then they want to commit suicide. The suicidal thought becomes so powerful. You say, might as well die if it's so much suffering and misery. That's why both types of craving lead to suffering, affliction, mental agony, misery. Okay, we go back to the notes. So the three types of craving, by now I think should be more and more clear. But you get caught up and swept away. Oh, this one we finish here. You may end up descending into the lower existence, means the four willful state. Okay, next paragraph. This one also we have finished. The second part we haven't gone in. The ear hears mundane sound, but the mind is not affected. So this one is teaching you to develop the wisdom, the direct seeing. It's like instead of just based on the sensual craving, perception of form is consciousness, whereas it's non-perception is wisdom. That part, if you can penetrate, you penetrate all. Because hearing the sense data is also a type of vibration. We call it mental form. Because that one is not so perceptible like physical, external form. Then you have smell, taste. These are more subtle form. Then you have tactile sensation. Then you have the mind, pace. All this is the same. When you have the direct see, the awakening, the understanding, all this, they have no power over you. That's how I use that saying. When you awaken, the phenomenal world of consciousness and form, they like collapse in front of you. No more meaning. They cannot deceive you anymore. They cannot distract you anymore. They cannot even entice you anymore. Not to say lure you. No way. Because you understand them for what they are. This one are reality that pertains to the conditioned world. That's why the conditioned world has its own set of reality. That's why duality exists within the existential world. The existential world has all the things that is described in the Heart Sutra. The Four Noble Truths. Birth and death, even enlightenment, attainment, and all those things. But within true emptiness, all this does not exist, because these are conditioned was reality. Within the unconditioned, all this does not exist. That's why you need to awaken to both the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma in order for you to understand life, in order for you to awaken, so that it will have no power over you. Okay, I read on. You should not be affected or disturbed by any situation that you encounter. In other words, you should be in control of the situation and not vice versa. When you have reached this level, form, sound, sense, flavor, and tactile object cannot influence your mind. So it's a similar description. The phenomenal world of consciousness and form, they fail to have power over you. They will collapse in front of you. Then Xianhua continues, if you are attached to whatever you see, whatever you hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think, that is a sign of being confused by situation. Means the phenomenal world of consciousness and form still can lure you, entice you, and deceive you, and delude you, and cause you to grasp, cling, and hold. That's how suffering arises. So the sensors say you attach to them greedily and passionately through delusion, then you will suffer. When you have greed and passion for the five perceived objects, your feelings involve emotions. When you face these five sensory objects, you give rise to attachment and craving. Most people think that love is very important. Actually, it's a craving. In reality, it is the thing that keeps you from ending birth and death. That's why craving is the cause of suffering and becoming a Buddha. Following temperaments, we are overcome with emotion. This is obvious, when you are deluded. Chasing after emotion, we are overcome with desire. So these are also very obvious things. So love or craving springing from desire is the root cause of birth and death and the source of outflow. Outflow means there is this outflow of thought process born of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, conditioned by Sakkaya Ditti and Avijja. If you can free yourself from the craving that arises from desire, you will be able to realize freedom from outflow. As long as you are afflicted by desire-based craving, you cannot attain freedom from outflow. So here, Xuanhua's meaning is very deep. Freedom from outflow means the outflow of thought. Arahant, when they become arahant, they have no more avijja. But there is still this outflow of thought process, the birth and death of the thought process. Yeah. Means they have ended the segmented birth and death of that segmented form and mind, but they have not ended the outflow of thought. Means that birth and death of every moment and every instant of thought, they still continue. That's why they always say there is still outflow and you cannot end that unless you can develop the Bodhisattva way to transform the inner nature until that inner nature's vibration become very, very fine, very pure. Then the mundane mind become too gross to exist within the form and mind. That's how it slowly, slowly, over a period of process, it will collapse, finally collapse. It's like a layer of consciousness finally drop off. Yeah. The next part of the stanza says, you will be burned by them. This is very true. What will you be burned by? The fire of craving. Craving or desire burn everyone to death. This paragraph is about the second noble truth within the four noble truths, the cause of arising of suffering. The noble truth of the cause of arising of suffering, if you succumb to craving or love, you will be afflicted. If you are immune to love and craving, you will have no thought of craving and affection. There is no affliction. Why do you pursue craving or love and desire? It is because you place too much importance on your physical body. You want to indulge in physical pleasure. And this is the greatest of all mistakes. When Sakyamuni Buddha cultivated the path, why did he go to the Himalayas and take up ascetic practices? Why did he go sit beneath the Bodhi tree to attain awakening? He wanted to end once and for all the thought of love and affection that all worldly people possess. Because of that, he was able to realize Buddhahood and end all suffering. When the Buddha first turned the Dhamma wheel of the Four Noble Truths, he said, recognizing that suffering is oppressive, that one very important, recognizing that the aggregation of suffering happens through attraction, recognize that the cessation of suffering can be realized, recognize that the path leading to the cessation of suffering can be cultivated. So this is the first turning, means based on the proclamation of truth, the indicative turning in which the Buddha pointed out to living being that suffering is overwhelming and oppresses one. That's why I prefer the first noble truth to be rephrased or revert as the realities of life and existence. If you live life long enough, you will confront all these realities within life and existence. And the eight conditions that can condition suffering and affliction, these are common reality that all living beings has to experience or go through if you live long enough. Then, if you confront them without the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom, you will suffer, you will be afflicted. And that is the noble truth. That's why I call it prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere within life and existence, the eight realities of life and existence. If you confront them without understanding and wisdom, you will be burned, you will be tormented. You will grasp, you will cling, you will hold to avidya, sakkayadity, self-delusion. So all these are something that cultivator of the world, the way will pick it up as we cultivate. So this is the first turning, the indicative turning in which the Buddha point out to living beings that suffering is overwhelming and oppressive. Affliction arises within, attracting external situation that cause more affliction. If our mind were not afflicted, no external situation would be able to afflict us. There is a path that can be cultivated to achieve the cessation of suffering. But I prefer to use the word suffering need not be. We are enlightenment in the here and the now. Nibbana can be realized. Yeah. Then the cause of arising of suffering is very important. So in the second turning of the Dhamma wheel of the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha said, suffering is to be understood. Means not only the first noble truth. the second Noble Truth, the cause of its arising, then the cessation, then finally, of course, the path that leads to the cessation. So under this second turning, every of these Noble Truths, there is a different emphasis. That's why the Buddha said, under the second turning, the first Noble Truth, is that this Noble Truth of Dukkha, the eight realities of life and existence, is to be understood. Yeah. You can understand it, then it will actually help you. Yeah. Then the aggregation of suffering is to be severed, means the cause of its arising. You have to abandon it or severe it. Then the cessation of suffering, Nibbana, is to be realized. Then finally the path that leads to the cessation of Dukkha, which is the cultivation of the Noble Evopa, is to be cultivated. So in the second turning, the hortative turning means contemplative, yeah, means the emphasis that is given for you to contemplate, to reflect and inquire. Yeah. That can lead to the stability of the wisdom and understanding. It's very important. Yeah. So in the second turning, the hortative turning, the Buddha encouraged all living beings to cultivate this second turning. The Buddha said you should recognize and understand suffering. Means we should inquire. Why did the Buddha say this Noble Truth or Dukkha is to be understood? If I don't develop the understanding, what will happen to me? Means when I confront them, I don't even know that I'm suffering. So that is the danger. You suffer without knowing that this is suffering. That is really delusion. Yeah. It's really, really deluded if you have to live life that way. Because if you go through suffering without knowing that that is suffering, then how can you develop the wisdom to free or to liberate? There is no way. That's why in the second turning, the Buddha encouraged living being to develop the contemplative wisdom, to reflect deep into the first turning proclamation, then to inquire, why did the Buddha say so? Then how can I develop the understanding? You will have to go to the final summary of the first Noble Truth, where he defined, in short, it is due to one's sakkayaditti that condition wants to grasp and cling at the fine aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha, means the upadana khandas, the grasping aggregate. And then you have to put it to test. Why did the Buddha say it? So, how can I develop the understanding? Means I must understand what the Buddha meant by the fine aggregate, the two aspects that I have taught you. Then put it to test. All the aggregates, the two aspects. If I cling onto this physical body, do I suffer? Definitely you will suffer in that you believe it's you, sakkayaditti. Then you worry about you getting old, getting sick and die. That's why the Buddha cannot find the answer initially when he decides to go for renounce the world, to develop the meditative wisdom, follow the way of the Samana. Not until 6 years later, underneath the Bodhi tree, when he realized that this five aggregate of form and mind, the physical body of the human being, is not a permanent, unchanging entity that he can cling onto, grasp onto, and hold onto, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. Then only he awakened. Then his problem no more. His problem of birth, old age, sickness and death, no more. Free. Completely rooted out. So that part is very important. Okay, the Buddha then say you should recognize and understand suffering. Then you should put an end to suffering or affliction, which aggregates and intensifies suffering. To do that, you should cultivate the path, the Noble Eightfold Path, and then you will realize the cessation of suffering or dukkha. So in the third turning of the Dhamma wheel of the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha said, I have understood suffering and need not understand it further. The second turning is it. I have understood, I have severed the aggregates of suffering and need not severe it further. The third turning, he said, I have realized the cessation of dukkha and need not realize it further. I have cultivated the path, the Noble Eightfold Path, and need not cultivate it further. Actually, the phrasing of it, the English translation, is not that good. The Theravada tradition one is better. The Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta inside there. Because under the third turning, the Buddha said, this Noble Truth of Dukkha has been understood. Means what? He has understood the first Noble Truth, the second Noble Truth, the third Noble Truth, and the fourth Noble Truth. That's why he points towards enlightenment. Means suffering with the eight condition has been understood. Means the reality of life and existence, the eight reality has been understood. Then the cause of its arising, which is craving, born of Sakyaditi, also have been understood. Then the cessation of suffering also has been understood. Then finally, the Noble Eightfold Path that leads to the cessation of all suffering also has been understood. After you understand, only you can cultivate it. Yeah. That's why under the second turning, he said, this cause of arising of suffering, which is craving, has already been severed or abandoned, finished. No need to say the other part, I need not have to try to abandon. No need. Has already been abandoned or severed, finished. Then the cessation of dukkha, the third Noble Truth, which is the realization of Nibbana, has already been realized. Means point towards enlightenment. That's why the third turning, all the emphasis is towards enlightenment. Then the fourth Noble Truth, this Noble Eightfold Path, which is the path that leads to the end of suffering, all suffering, has already been cultivated. We have this Noble Eightfold Path. You understand it alone not enough. You have to put it into practice, cultivate it, so that you have the embodiment of all the Noble Eightfold Path factors. Otherwise, you cannot be called a noble ones. We are noble ones have all this embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path qualities. They are very noble in all aspects of life, especially right view. When you are very noble in all aspects of life, means you have right understanding, right view. Then the way you communicate and interact with people. That's why right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood follow. Then you have the noble quality of diligence, the noble effort, the form, right effort. You constantly, diligently cultivate it to transform and improve on your ability to understand and abandon and refine upon all the good virtuous quality. Then after that, you will develop what we call mindfulness and samadhi, to develop the wisdom and the understanding to liberate your mind. But if you don't do that, you can't. Okay, I have to rush a bit because 9:50. I think we stop here. This is the third turning, referred to as evidential turning. Maybe I finished this part. The Buddha first turned the wheel, Dhamma wheel of the Four Noble Truths, three times. For Kondanya, this section of the Dhamma Flower Sutta corresponds to the principles of suffering, aggregation or cause of suffering, the cessation of suffering, and the path that leads to the cessation of suffering. Okay, we end here. Now we go back to our second session, which is meditation rebonding. And also Q&A session. So tonight, don't worry, Brother Song is here. He has volunteered to develop the sharing. Okay, we pass the mic to Brother Song.
Brother Mr. Steele, Okamita, 晚上好. Brother, 我要 report 一下 after Tom Cameron 回来的一些 experience. 我回来了以后，有两个晚上我做了梦。 我很久没有做梦了，然后有一天晚上，我那个梦一 arise 的时候，我很奇怪，我是在里面 aware，我是在那个梦里面去 aware 那个梦，它 arise 的时候，它是一个很 soft 一个很 light 的一个
layer，对，好，就这样子慢慢的
arise。 等我在里面在 aware 做它慢慢的 arise， 我也能够看到那个 layer 里面有 contents，
对，就是，等我也知道那个
content 是什么。那个时候我在那个梦里面，我知道那个 content 就是一些不是很 intense 的那些东西，但是它就是一些很琐碎琐碎的那些东西这样子，就在那个 content 哦，我这样看住它，它就这样慢慢的 arise
哈。嗯。
Then the next day， 又是一样哦，又是在很奇怪，我是在睡觉，但是那个梦一 arise 的时候，你就 aware 了，对，然后你就看住它，哦，然后它又 content 有什么这样哦，我也知道那个是什么东西啊，那个 content 是什么，但是我醒来了，我是call回去，我不能够，我又不知道，不要去
remember， because most of these are subconscious release， subconscious and unconscious， because as he go through the transformation， these are the more finer type of subconscious and unconscious release that need to be released， and most of it is very subtle。 And when it's released, very fast it disappears. Yeah. But later on, when the great beings want to send him message, that type of dream is different again. Again, you are aware. You have that awareness inside there, and you are fully aware of this movement as subconscious and unconscious release. You see them very clearly. Yeah. That's why awareness-based meditation is not what you think. Completely different. Yeah. Then that transformation process, when the great being come, you will know. The signs are all very clear. Then immediately inside there, you know it. Then the message that come, you will have a lot of gratitude, a lot of joy, and you know what to do. Yeah. It's just like 1986, Guan Yin came. Then 2008, Maitreya came. Both their nature came. And it's so vivid, no? That thing. But this one is the initial phases, the stages where after you transform, then you have the awareness. Then you start to, initially is you are aware that you are dreaming. You are aware. Then when you want to like wake up from the dream, you also know. Then you know that this is dreamlike. That's why in the, what they call, Jing Gang Jing, the Diamond Sutta. Each year, you wei fa, means everything within the condition will condition them. And what are they? They are dreamlike. Zhu Meng Huan Pao Ying. That Meng is what you will see one inside there. That's why it's dreamlike one. No reality one. In fact, when you are conscious in your daily life, actually this type of thing are manifesting one. Except that when you sleep, this subconscious and unconscious release, you didn't see. That's why people don't understand why they have phobia, why they have fear, especially those who have went through their education system. Especially in the university where the pressure is very strong without you knowing, you know. After you graduate, even many years after that, you still dream that you haven't passed the exam. That fear, that phobia is there, one very strong one. Yeah. And it can be rooted out, that one. Yeah. Because when you see all this manifestation, you know it's the subconscious and the unconscious release. Means these are trap phobia, understand? Trap fear. Or the word phobia is very apt. Yeah. Fear is a bit strong. But sometimes it's like subtle fear or phobia. But all this, you need to release it. Otherwise, the brain become cuckoo. Understand? They say it can drive you and make you like become mad. Cuckoo. Miss Satyam Long. So this subconscious release are very important. Then the unconscious release, if you know how to relax and silent and develop the mindfulness, then all this will start to release. No? Then they will not clog out your brain. No? Your brain will start to have more and more space. You know what is space or not? Yeah? Take for example, you look at the altar. When you make a lot of offering, there is no space there. Although it looks beautiful on itself. Everything is there. But of course the altar, what we offer are beautiful things. That's a nice flower, all those things. But let's say you put a lot of rubbish inside there. Your fear, your insecurity, your phobia, your whatever negative emotion, insecurity, all those things you put in. That thing become like a major nuisance to your table. That's a it can cause disease, everything, and it can cause you so much harm. So human beings that accumulate all this psychological memory, the fear, phobia, insecurity, the jealousy, the hatred, everything, all this if you accumulate, then you got no space, and so you cannot move. Even your tradition, your belief system, like you have this trap fear, they say, at night, don't go out to dark places, or the month of July, don't go out. You have that fear trapped inside without you knowing it. So every time come the month July, you panic already. Even you go out, you drive also, you worry. Oh, this is the month where all the ghosts get released from hell. Where got hell, where got prison so nice? Every year give you 1 month to go out. All the convicts will not come back to you. That's why for those who know, they know these are traditional belief. They believe that they are given the freedom to roam, the planet and all that. There is no such thing. They are there all the time. Whether you take care of karma or you don't take care of karma, that is the condition you will be in. So karmically, you have to understand all this. So if you don't have space, means what? Like your tradition, they tell you a lot of Chinese tradition belief. When you get married, you cannot simply make mistake at the ceremony. They say when you walk out, your leg cannot step on the moon kwang and all those things. Then they some more say you must do a lot of these traditions belief. Then you must not break anything or whatever. They call pantang. You know, in Hokkien is pantang. All these are tradition, no truth at all. Most of them are without basis one. Then they are actually rites and ritual postulated by the elders. Yeah. And this has become tradition. And tradition bind and prevents movement, understand? Like when you want to live like no space means what? Everywhere got things preventing you from doing the movement. Like they say, hey, let's go for whatever. Maybe they say go for pub or drink or what. Hey, they say chikui pong cannot. So you dare not go out. there is this fear, there is this phobia. So all these are the things that you put in your brain, understand or not? It like cluttered up the whole thing. And if you put wholesome thing, not so bad. But if you put all the rubbish, psychological rubbish, that can trigger off psychological fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, including all your negative emotion, phobia, all those things. Even sorrow, lamentation, and all those things. You will hold. And this one make you miserable. You not only cannot move, every time you want to do something, that memory of all those negative psychological memory will surface. And all the pantang and all the so-called tradition, belief system, all will prevent you from moving. That's why you must have space. So what I'm trying to explain is, when you become aware, when you know how to meditate, you remove all the unnecessary phobia, fear, the negative emotion, or you release it out on the sana. In fact, the body on its own, when you are not creating a lot of thinking, especially when you sleep at night, you know how to sleep. When you're very tired, you know how to rest. But if you are aware, very easy one. Then all this subconscious and unconscious release will happen by itself. And it clear your memory. It clear your brain. That's why this brain become like full of space. When there is space, you can move, understand or not? But there is nothing to hinder you or block you and tell you all this nonsense, understand or not? This one cannot do, that one cannot do. This is against the tradition, against the belief system. Then you cannot, like a lot of restriction. This is what is happening to the human mind, the human brain, the memory. So if you don't have awareness to transform this until it becomes non-grasping, because there is wisdom, the wisdom energy is so strong, it becomes non-grasping. Then later on, it has the power to cause that gross mundane mind to collapse, because that mind's vibration is too gross. It cannot withstand that type of pure energy that has transformed your vibration within your nature. Yeah. And that is the one that actually bring forth the ability of cultivator to release all this subconscious and unconscious fear, phobia, or whatever psychological memory that is causing all the restriction of movement within the daily life. That's why as you develop more and more understanding, more and more awareness and wisdom, all this will help you to release them until your mind has clarity, non-grasping, all this rubbish no more. Not only heedless thinking, the wrong view, the tradition, the belief, all these things all clear, rooted out, until you become like very different. You suddenly become like completely free. There is nothing to restrict you. There is nothing to create misunderstanding or fear or whatever. Everything within nature is like you can understand them all. They are just the way they are. Conditioned like that, things will be. There is no more like and dislike, stirring, reacting. No more phobia, fear. No more. Nothing in this world, in this existence, can cause you any fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, or lamentation. They cannot even stir your emotion. Nothing. Where you know empty nature existence. He know you, he know me. No reality. Everything within the conditioned world is dreamlike, like what he experienced. Yeah? Then illusionary. Dreamlike is before the illusionary thing come out. Illusionary means when you see that they are only consciousness, images, come and go, come and go. That's why it's an illusion, not what you think. How do you know it's a table? Through your perception. It's a mental image. Externally already dependent, originating, condition, arising phenomena. Not a permanent unchanging entity. No reality. But how do you know it's a table? You perceive it through a mental image. And this image is even more unreal compared to the solid form outside. Externally already not so real, dependent originating. Then how real can this image be? Then why do you cling onto it, grasp onto it, and develop the fear over it, and become miserable over it? That is delusion. Then you will wake up. Then you realize everything is just consciousness. Mind make are there. Images come and go, come and go. And as real as can be, it's only within the present moment. And how stable is the present moment? It's so transient. Split second is dead and gone. Split second is there. And that is the only reality. So how real can life be? So when you awaken to all this, then you understand the stanza of the Diamond Sutta. Zu mong huan pao wei. Dreamlike, illusionary, like a bubble and a shadow. Really, not what you think. Okay, some you continue. Yeah, that one is very good. Yeah.
就这两个梦了以后，我发现到，哎，我在我的 daily 里面哦，我很就开啊、很少那个 chatting 麦了
啊 ，chattering
啊，你不像以前哦。
The verbalizing
啊，你的 verbalizing 它是 auto 的，懂吗？它是因为 habitual， 它会在那边，很像你的 background 这样子，
yeah, 对
一直在那边 playing 这样子。But after that， 我觉得哎，怎么没有了？
对， time, 因为它 slowly release 啊 ，release until 啊，它真的没有那个 tendency 了。That's why your mind become transform， it become like hateful. Most of the time, it's just aware. It hardly think 那啥。Then not necessary, it won't even contemplate. That's why that process is the real transformation. That's why the Buddha said, this realization, ipacetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. It's because the wise, form and mind, go through that process. It's not a knowledge, it's not a theory, it's a transformation. And this is the real awareness base. Cultivate. That's why the awareness nature, the pure awareness nature, is very powerful. That one is not the mundane mind completely. That one is the one that is the real silent. Yeah. That's why silent that is capable of being aware of what is going on can develop wisdom. That's why the silent awareness of what is the reality. Is meditation. Yeah. If you cannot be silent, you are lost in thought. Preoccupied with what the thought is telling you. That's why you will come to know the chattering, the verbalizing, all starts to become less and less and less. Then like one day you suddenly realize, hardly any left. And most of the time, you are living life. You only arise a thought when you need to use them. And all these thoughts become right thought, wholesome thought. No more of those fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, phobia. Or no more jealousy. Even the slight dislike also, it cannot arise already. Cannot already. Because that wisdom, that understanding has transformed the form of mind. Completely transformed. That's why it's irreversible. It's not something that you forget the memory not there, then you cannot understand and you cannot live that life. No, it's always inside there. And you will know all this. Before you die also, you will know what is going on. And all this movement is that pure awareness, nature's activity that understand. That's why from there, the wisdom develops and is safe inside. Means it's not lost. It's connected to the form and mind. Unless this form and mind dissolve, then that thing dissolve together. But it is already saved up in your spiritual nature. Your spiritual nature already record it and have it there. Then in future when you come, you need to develop the training to connect back to your true nature within. When you connect, the moment you connect, the moment you can develop the awareness-based meditation, then all this understanding will start slowly to come back to you. then it will come in fast when you detect your gateway. Yeah, that is the Bodhisattva way. When you detect your gateway, you will come back very fast. Then you will come to understand in the past what have you cultivated and all those things. That's why all this require understanding. In the Thursday class, I draw for you the four circle formation. Then the two right and left on top, I put the spiritual nature and the coming nature. Coming nature is to condition the form and mind for you to come. Then through your Bodhisattva vow, you need not come with ignorant avidya. You can come with the pure mind, out of love and compassion. Then when you come with that, you cultivate very fast on, because your Bodhi mind activate very fast. Like this line, when I was young, I already have sign of all these things coming. Then I know what they are, except I have not fully connected, but I have glimpse of it. Then after that, when it continues to happen, when the time comes, the inquiry moves by itself. The Bodhi mind, that one, activate by itself. Then the moment I hear truth, I saw the book, the Four Noble Truths, first time, I already knew what that thing is. And inside tell me, no need to search, that's it. Yeah. So all this understanding will come. Then when I develop the mindfulness at the age of 35, 1989, when I develop it, then when I connect and awaken, my nature become different. Then I start to inherit. Yeah. But the inherit part, initially it come, but slow, not that far. The moment my last guide told me where that gateway is, I start to develop the transformation very fast. Then after that, when internal move and transform, then all the understanding came back. Then that time I also find it just like what happened to Sakyamuni Buddha underneath the Bodhi tree. This type of teaching, how to teach, how to share with the world, nobody can understand. And it's so different from traditional teaching. And a lot of things are not in the sutta or teaching. That's why that time I didn't do anything. 89 until 2004, 15 years. I didn't do anything. I just let things be until Yun Chan came. Yeah. That's why all this, when you have the good affinity or condition to come into contact with this type of cultivation, the supreme vehicle cultivation, you will encounter all the great beings, nature, cultivator of the way. Then you will understand all this. That's why this thing that evolved, meant to be, where condition is already such, it has develop the movement. Yeah. Very good. So, yeah, continue. Yeah.
Then, 就那一天, 威塞节, 然后我就去那个 Thai Temple pay respect, 然后过后我就在那边吃, 因为还有 surf buffet, 我就, 就坐在那个桌子那边吃, 然后, 哇, 那种感觉, 哦, 你的 mind stage, 哦, 他没有那种什么比低那种 joy 什么都没有，他就是你不能够用语言去形容他，他也不是 peace 也不是，他很平静，只呀呀呀，But
the understanding is there one. It's not the one that make you excited. It's the understanding. It transform you completely inside, and you realize this is not something that the world can understand one. And it's so beautiful, so marvelous.
Inside, you are no one. You are nobody. Nothing. But that form of mind is not you. You are no one.
And that is just that nature. And that nature exist within the moment is because of the formless mind. Understand? That's why I say with the formless mind, you know how to cultivate, you will connect to the gateway, then you can be with that nature. But that nature is not the being, it's not you, understand? But you can be with it. That's why you will know. I give you the hint, the Kong An, when you stabilize your inner awareness already, you try to find out, without thought, who are you? There will be moments that it will manifest on. You are really nothing, because I tried. Within the awareness, I cannot come up with anything at all. No word, nothing. That's why I realized, this is not a being, not me. But the form and mind within the existential world is a human being, understand or not? But that one is not you or me, because it's not a permanent unchanging entity. These are conditioned arising phenomena, except that it lasts longer, understand or not? That's why you will know all the segmented life, none of them are you. That wisdom is their one, that understanding is their one, cannot run on. That's why in the Surangama's Diamond Sutta is mentioned, even the Sotapan also know that. Yeah. No need to be Arahant. The Sotapan also know that this is not a permanent unchanging entity. And this wisdom, when you root out Sakkayaditi, the real Sakkayaditi, self-delusion, it is like that one. The wisdom is like that. Very good. Sadhu. Continue.
这些都是那个 mind stage 的过程，
对、
，and then 就等我们回来了，比如就你在拜师的那个unit dharma code 里面的那个 explanation， 哇，非常的好，我都一直在 repeating 的在听，因为你的 explanation 就 match with 我的那个在 Cameron 的那个 experience。然后我就连那天前天那个礼拜天早上我一醒来我又听这个拜四的那个Thursday 的 Unicode 152那时你是在讲那个condition
condition arising phenomena
phenomena 的那个我很 attentive 的在听当你讲到那个你将读刚那大的时候
的
忽然间哦、我整个明白那个就我在做梦的那个雷的时候我讲诶这个东西哦它是一个雷一个雷的 arise 这个就是阿尼将来的然后我想如果 immediately 然后就想如果你去 grasp 它的话就是不抗了
对
然后我想诶因为我那个时候我在梦里面我看到它是这样子这样 arise 我讲它是 dependent origination 来的它也是一个 anatta 的忽然间我就开始明白就是开始明白哦原来那个 layers 那个 conscious 那个 sankara 的这样子的 arise 它是 sabbe sankara
anicca
sabbe sankara dukkha
you grab string one thing away you don't allow it to flow and release with the wisdom to accept them for what they are then you will get yourself entangled then you become involved understand you start to give meaning then you start to cling you start to hold then you want things your way ultimately you suffer that's why even wholesome mind state if you attach and cling it will develop into suffering that's why I use the word all wholesome mind state or good mind state is a prelude to mental suffering because you will attach you want it repeated understand when you cannot get what you want suffering will arise that's why whatever that is pleasant wholesome do not grasp because these are nature's condition when causes and conditions are like that it manifests then when there are causes and conditions for you to go through the experience leave it understand not? Like good food good condition eat don't go and worry about what people tell you. If this is like right and reason. Hey, you enlightened already. You cannot have craving. No. You cannot eat good food. No. They think eating good food is craving. No. That's why there is a big difference with the real wisdom and the knowledge one. Knowledge one is always logic, but not the real thing. That's why my teacher, Ajahn Anantra, he is very good. He said, within the conditioned world, when there is condition, you can love, he said, but without attachment, yanasana. Yanasana. Without attachment. Because condition is like that. It's like you are the parent. You have children. You have your spouse. Love with understanding. Yanasana. You can love them. But if anything were to happen, no attachment. Yanasana. Then he say, good food, you can eat, but no craving, understand not? If there is no condition, don't go and crave for it, understand not? Means you understand the reality. Condition like that, things be like that. Even the Bodhisattva, before he became the Buddha, you remember the incident where his son died? Where the son go and smoke the hole with the python inside, he doesn't know. Then the python came out and killed the son. He accept, understand? Then he asked somebody that passed. He didn't cry. He didn't even lament. Then he just passed a message. When you are on the way back to the village, can you inform my wife? Bring along some perfume. Bring along some white clothing for three. Then the wife knew already. One of the children has passed away. That's why when she comes, she prepares everything, and they develop the ceremony to like, they build a pyre, means they put them on, you know what is a pyre, no? P-Y-R-E, wood for burning the dead body one. Then they put the perfume, everything. Then the king happened to pass by. Then the king saw. They ask, what happened? They say, somebody died. Then the king went and asked the Bodhisattva. And the Bodhisattva told him, no, he is my son. He said, then why are you not crying? Means not a filial piety son. He said, no, very filial piety. He said, then why are you not crying? He said, whatever there is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. What has been born has already come to pass. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. That is the wisdom. Understand? Then the king also feels surprised. No? Cannot be, he said. Your own son, no, he said. Then he looked at the wife. No? He said, how come the wife also didn't cry? You got to ask the wife. You are the mother, you give birth to him. You raise him and all those things. Why are you not sad? No lament. Then he repeat the same thing as what the husband said. Whatever is of the condition to arise is of the condition to cease. What has been born has come to pass. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. That is the reality. So don't cling, don't. That's why my teacher say, you can love, but no attachment. That is the meaning, understand not? When condition manifests, that is the reality. Accept it. Everything is just the way it is. Meant to be, will be. So don't be foolish, understand not? So that is the deep meaning. Okay? Yeah. So, continue.
Actually 跟我们的那个, 我们的 thought, 的那个 image 是一样的。就过后我的 understanding 是, 诶, 我们, 我们的那个 thought 有一个 image 的, 它里面也是有 contents 的, 它跟我们, 跟我在梦里面看到的那个 layers 是 exactly 一样的。 Then is, 我的 understanding 就是, 当我们在我们的 daily 里面, 我们的那个 thought, 如果我们一直在紧紧地抓住, out of delusion 的话, 你是紧紧地一直在 grasping 的话, 它有一些东西, 它会慢慢地会 会 store 进你的 subconscious 里面,
对,
exactly 就是一样的。 然后我就在想, 我们是在梦里面做梦呢, 还是你醒来了以后, 你是在梦里,
对, it's still an illusionary, what they call world. That world is still an illusion. Mind make are they still conscious, not much different from the one that you release through the dream, understand? But the subconscious and unconscious release dream, most of them are very short story one. Short story one. Then like not really connected one. But sometimes if you hold on to that thing and you get yourself deludedly grasped onto it, then that dream like go on for a while on, understand? But then finally it will end. Then when it end, when you wake up, you want to recall, you find it very difficult to recall. Only some that has impact on you one, then that one will stay with you. It's like the phobia or something, until there is fear, there is sweat. That one will be retained in your memory. But during that time, I remember, I was fully aware when all these things were happening. Then to me, I want to test, no? I want to know, no? It's just an illusionary mind-made subconscious and unconscious release. No? But I aware that I am there. No? Then I tested it. No? I knocked on the table. No? Really solid, no? Like I am here. No? Then I try to do things. No? But one thing funny is when I am there, I can levitate, I can fly. Or no? I also cannot understand. So one day I want to know, how can I do it there, but I cannot do it when I'm here? So I tested it. I actually can do it there, but the conditions are different. Then all this, that's why I can like find out, play with it. And these are beautiful, marvelous things that you can. And to me, that dream state, it's also an alter state of consciousness, understand? It's just like life, you live on this world. No different. It's consciousness, mind-made. And you think it's very real. That's why finally I saw images on it. Consciousness, mind-made are they. Then with the content and its story, understand? You deludedly grasp and cling, you finish. That's why you let it release. You let it appear. Because when I was doing the 24-hour awareness, I saw the subconscious release, the unconscious release. One by one, they're releasing. Then I just fully aware. Until I wake up, like I didn't sleep. The last thought and the moment I become conscious is connected. Then my face not tired one. I don't have to wash face or those things at that time. Like I didn't sleep. It's like I fully aware until I wake up. That's why this awareness space in 1989, after I went through that transformation, nobody understand. That's why I just tell myself, who can understand what is going on? I even tell my wife, after my Monday, Michael, I say, how come like that? For 4 or 5 days, almost 5 days, I remember, my ability to see the world completely different now. How come it, last time, I cannot see all this, the universal characteristic, the clarity of all this activity and movement. Then how come after the Monday mind collapse, like the cloud all dispersed, everything is so pristine, so vivid, so clear, no? Then only I come to that realization that without mind, I cannot perceive and do all those things. Then later on, because I was during that 5 days, without mind, no, that mundane mind no more, no, like totally no mind inside. And that movement is so fine, no, really like no mind. But inside the wisdom tell me, no mind, how can you perceive? Then I realize it's a super mundane mind from that nature. But this mind is non-grasping, no. It cannot like last time already with the delusion, cling grasp. Where it see the unreality, Zhu Meng Huan Pao, he see clearly. No such thing, no reality at all. That's why completely not what you think. And this is what awareness-based meditation is capable of giving you the understanding. That's why this one is not knowledge-based, not thought-based, not the traditional cultivation where people come out with all those type of teaching. No, this one is from that pure awareness nature you awaken and you develop the understanding and the transformation. That's why after that I realized why the Buddha said this Dhamma, wisdom and understanding, ipacetang, can only be realized by the wise Ishvara. You have to go through it. Otherwise, you cannot understand all this. It cannot manifest at all. Unless you went through the whole cultivation and that thing happened, then you transform. Your brain also change. Everything also change. Your whole or your physical, the psyche, change. Totally different. That's why this is not something that normal cultivator of the way can understand. Yeah. That's why luckily song starting to go through some of it. It creates a condition for my nature to explain further, deeper. Yeah. You have to summarize already. Yeah. Then continue next okay. session.
To 这个 cultivation 就是要去 realize 这个 form and mind 这个 form and mind 到底是怎样的 function 怎样的去 dilute 我们
yeah, yeah, yeah.
然后我们怎样的去从这个 这个 mind 的 stage 里面醒过来从这个梦里面醒过来
yeah,
当你醒来了以后你就能够了解了这个 form and mind 那么你就能够超越它，那么你就能够超越这个生死。
了生死，对，杀掉。Very good， 杀掉，杀掉，杀掉。Very good， so let us rejoice. One more time， 杀掉，杀掉，杀掉。Okay， we have to share marriage， transfer marriage， starting with the devas。Akasata cebumata devanaga mahindika。Punyang tang anamo ditwa cirang wakantu loka sasana etta wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sapasampati sidiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Devo asatu kalena Sasa sampati hetu cha Fito bawatu loko cha Raja bawatu dhammiko Imena punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patiya, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu.